Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are many names and titles given to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are also many names and titles given to believers. And there are also many names and titles given to the Antichrist. The Antichrist, perhaps, of all the titles that he has, is the most well-known. He is known as the Beast here in Revelation 13. He is known as the Man of Sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as well as the Son of Perdition. The word perdition means destruction. His life will be characterized by sin. His conduct and behavior will be characterized by destruction. That's what his other names mean. And then in Daniel 7, he is known as the little horn, telling us that he will be part of the Roman Empire. These are the little clues that we have to this Antichrist. If you study the book of Daniel, you realize that he is described with a man as a man with many eyes. That means he will be a genius. He will be very brilliant. If you look at Daniel chapter 11, he will be described as a man who is very skillful in his words. That means he'll be very convincing. He can speak very well. And if you look at that passage, you'll find that he might possibly even be a Jew, because the Bible used the personal pronoun, his God, to describe his behavior and his conduct. And he has no desire for women, which means that he could also be a homosexual. These are some of the characteristics of this beast, this Antichrist. The name Antichrist simply means one who is against Christ. It also could mean someone who will stand in place of Christ. So that's the meaning of the word Antichrist or Antichrist. And that is exactly what you find in Revelation 13 when you look at this passage. We are introduced to this man. And the Bible describes him as the beast. Please make sure you know the distinction between the word beast that is used here in Revelation 13 and the word beast used in Revelation chapter 4. The word beast in Revelation chapter 4 describes the angelic beings in heaven. They are the good angels who serve the Lord. The word beast there simply means living beings or living creatures, creatures that are alive. Whereas the word beast here is a word that describes a brute, wild, ferocious beast that you find in the jungle, in the wilds. And so they are two different words, even though it is the same word in English. And so this is the description of the two beasts that are found in Revelation 13. One is a very ferocious beast. The other one is not ferocious, even though the word beast is a ferocious name that is used to describe him, but he has two horns. The two horns are like a lamb. But the words that come out of his mouth in verse 11 is just as devilish, because the Bible described this second beast as one that spoke like a dragon. And the dragon there, of course, is Satan himself. And so in this chapter, we are introduced to the unholy trinity. You have the dragon, and then you have the first beast, which is the Antichrist, very fierce, very ferocious. And then you have the false prophet. That's who he is, the other beast. Now, how do we know that he is the false prophet? He is known as the false prophet because that's how God described him for us in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. He is known as the false prophet. Because you look at the ministry that is described from verse 12 to the end, he will function like the false prophet, who is none other than the Holy Spirit. He will pretend to be the Holy Spirit. He will do something that is similar to the Holy Spirit. Because when you look at the role of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find that the role of the Holy Spirit is to turn our attention to Christ. He will cause us to worship Christ, just as the Lord Jesus Christ will point us to the Father, where we will glorify the Father, just as the Holy Spirit will be sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to glorify Christ. When you look at the verses, you'll find that He will function similar to what the Holy Spirit would do. And that is why theologians describe them as the unholy Trinity. You have Satan, who is a copycat of God the Father. And then you have the Antichrist, who is a copycat of Christ. And then you have this third beast, or second beast, I beg your pardon, who is the false prophet, a copycat of the Holy Spirit. But our focus and our attention will be on number two, the Antichrist, or the Antichrist. And so the first thing we do is to see how he would be against Christ, how he would take the place of Christ, how he will imitate Christ. And this imitation of Christ will be very potent, because he's going to use Scripture to support his claims that he is the true Messiah, because Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, the Anointed One. And that is going to be his focus. And when he does this, he's going to get the world to worship him, and that will be his final agenda. And so the first thing we're going to look at about this Antichrist is how he will copy Christ in terms of relationship. It will be three R's. The first is relationship. Verse 1 and verse 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, sea is very mysterious. It is a description of the earth, humanity. The second beast is described as someone who will come out of the earth. Both of them describe the earth. One is a little bit more easy to recognize. He will just simply surface out of the earth, whereby it is easier to discover his identity, perhaps. Whereas the other person is a little bit more mysterious. Who he is pretty much difficult to pinpoint and to identify. And if you look at the internet, you're going to find that a lot of people have tried their best to identify who this Antichrist could be. Some of the names would include Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes perhaps was one of the first few candidates. He lived prior to the first coming of Christ. Antiochus Epiphanes was a Greek king, provincial king during the time of the Roman Empire, when the Romans were about to become more and more powerful, to become the new superpower. This Antiochus Epiphanes did something so horrendous and nightmarish. Or another one could be Emperor Nero, or the Pope, Charlemagne, Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, John F. Kennedy, Henry Kissinger. All these are names that have been toyed around by people who are trying to find out the exact identity or name of the Antichrist. Sun Myon Moon is also included here. You have Arafat. You even have Bill Gates. They even thought that maybe Bill Gates is the beast, because the beast needs to be computer literate, they say, and financially very well off. And at the time, perhaps, Bill Gates was the richest man on earth, and so they suggested Bill Gates. And somebody even suggested maybe Barney the dinosaur. You know Barney the cartoon? Now, this is all taken from the internet. So these are some of the names that they have thrown out. Of course, the latest one is none other than the President of America, this present one, Barack Obama. His name is also inside. Don't try to guess. He will come out from the sea, so his name and his identity will be mysterious. You and I will not know it. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we are told that he will be made known to the whole world immediately after the rapture or the first resurrection. So if you want to know who he is, what his identity is, don't be raptured, stay behind. Then you will find out. I mean, that's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says. Alright, but I think rapture is better. I mean, don't stay behind, because it's not going to be nice, because that's the beginning of the Great Tribulation, 7 years of Great Tribulation, which you're going to find mentioned here in half of it, 3.5 years, 40 and 2 months, verse 5. So that's how we know. So the moment he's introduced to us, he's going to reign for 3.5 years, where there will be relative peace. And he's going to conquer, and the only people that's going to suffer during that period will be believers who will be against him. And so, look at his relationship. How he's going to copy Christ? He's going to be a man. Now, was Christ not a man? Yes. The book of Hebrews made that abundantly clear. In order for Christ to die for us, he must be a man. And so this Antichrist will come up from the sea, and then he will have 7 heads and 10 horns. And then upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, why 7 heads and 10 horns? You just flip back to the previous chapter, and you realize why the Bible described him as having 7 heads and 10 horns. How did the Bible describe Satan? You look at Revelation 12, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great and red dragon, that is Satan, having what? 7 heads and 10 horns. And 7 crowns upon his heads. 7 heads and 10 horns. So he will be like his father, that is the devil. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ is like God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. You see the relationship that he has with the one who called him, the one who will empower him. The difference is the 10 crowns, I beg your pardon. This will be described for us in greater detail in chapter 17. Of course, we're not going to look at that. We do not have the time. The 10 crowns there is similar to the crowns that the Lord Jesus Christ will wear when he rides on a white horse, described for us in Revelation 19. Many crowns. And the word crowns there is the same word, diadem. Not Stephanos. Stephanos described the crown that you earn after a race. The kind of crown that you give at an Olympic race. But this one is a different kind of crown that is a diadem whereby you give it to royalty by birth. People who are deserving, people did not have to do anything to get this crown. They are who they are. And so he will copy in terms of the relationship that Christ has with the Father. He is going to imitate to the jot and tittle according to his own father, and that is the devil. And on his head will be the name blasphemy, whereas on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ will be another different title. Of course, the word blasphemy is none other than the word of blasphemy. He will blaspheme God. Of course, please understand, Satan is not a fool. When he blasphemes God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he will do it in a way that will be very Christian. He will use a lot of Christian jargon. He's not going to go up to the world and say, I am Satan, I am the Antichrist. He's not going to do that. He will get the world to worship Christ, but in fact, they are actually worshiping the devil. He's going to get them to believe sincerely that they are truly worshiping the Messiah that is found in Scripture, because he's going to use the Bible to substantiate his claims because of the similarity of what you find he will have in his relationship with his father, the devil, the dragon. That's how it will succeed. That's how it will be potent in getting the whole world to kowtow to him. And he will succeed, as you can see in the rest of these few verses. And then look at his other characteristic, which is similar to the dragon. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Do you remember these three animals? Do you remember how it was mentioned last week? The leopard, the Grecian Empire. The bear, the Medo-Persian Empire. The lion, the Babylonian Empire. The only difference is that it is in reverse order. In the case of Daniel chapter 7, Babylon was mentioned first, followed by the bear, the Medo-Persian, and then the leopard. The leopard described the speed in which Alexander the Great conquered the rest of the Middle Eastern world. The bear described a very big and gigantic, slow-moving but powerful creature. And then, of course, the lion described someone that is very ferocious, the king of the animal, very ferocious and fierce, representing the Babylonian Empire. And so what you find in the Antichrist, the beast, is a consolidation of all these three. He's going to rule very swiftly. He's going to have the power like that of a bear. And he's going to have the ferocious nature of a lion. And this will make up his character when he will introduce himself to the rest of the world. And the world will kowtow to him. And he will succeed because he will be a brilliant individual. And of course, in Revelation 6, we are told that he will conquer the world using peace. And the moment he rises to power, anyone who goes against him will be killed. He will have all the external evidences like that of Christ. And then you watch. And the dragon will give him power and give him his seat, that is his throne, and then give him great authority. This world is owned by Satan. He is the prince of this world. And the authority that he gives him will all be material. Will be the armies of this world. Will be the governments of this world. And the authority is not small. When you control the whole world's armies, you know how powerful you are. Every nation will tremble and shake if every army of the world is under one man's rule and control. That means all the military hardware, all the atomic weaponry will be at his beck and call. That's how powerful he will be. And Satan will give this power to him, one man. And that's the relationship that the Antichrist will have with his father, Satan, the dragon. Very similar to the relationship that Christ introduced himself to us. Where the Lord Jesus Christ says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We are one and the same. Look at the second copycat feature of the Antichrist. First is relationship. Then the second is his revelation. The second R, how he will reveal himself to the world. How did Christ reveal himself to us? Now he's going to copy. Verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. Now, how did Christ introduce himself to us? He will die. And then he will be raised from the dead. And that's exactly what he will do. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered, amazed, admired this beast. They're going to follow him. That means they're going to see him being killed. And then they're going to see him being arise from the dead. Now, who will raise him from the dead? Now, you just quickly look at verse 15. And he had power, that is the second beast, to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So please take note how deceptive the second beast is. So the second beast will make use of this incident of the first beast being raised from the dead, and he will build a huge statue of this first beast because he rose from the dead, and the second beast will cause this statue for the first time an idol will speak. And then he's going to promote this beast. This beast has risen from the dead, and look at this huge statue that is able to speak. Worship it. Worship him. You see how the two of them will collaborate and how they're going to work so well together? Just as God the Son and God the Holy Spirit minister to us so well in tandem, both of them will do the same. And then they're going to take the word of God that talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and they're going to use it to apply it to this Antichrist. He died, raised him from the dead, and the world will marvel after this beast. The world definitely will be marveled. They will be so happy to see their Savior rise from the dead. And then watch these rhetorical questions that are very similarly found in the book of Psalms that are reserved only for God. Nobody else. Nobody else. Only God. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Just as Christ will point us to the Father, the Antichrist will point the world to the dragon and say that this dragon is truly the creator of heaven and earth. And then what will they say? They worship the beast. What will they say? Who is like unto the beast? Now these are rhetorical questions that you find In Psalm 71 verse 19, who is like unto Jehovah, remember? Who is able to make war with him? These are all found in the book of Psalms. Rhetorical question that describe only the one living and true God. And so when you present Satan, the dragon, as if he is God Almighty, and the world will heap upon him these rhetorical questions. Nobody is like unto the dragon. Nobody is like unto the Antichrist. He is unique. He alone is God Almighty. So all other idols will cease to be worshipped, and every idolater will now turn the attention to none other than the dragon, using the resurrection of the Antichrist. And the Bible says, I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death. As it were only. The Bible did not say that he actually died and they have the power to raise someone from the dead. Because if you study the Bible, the only one who has real genuine power to raise someone from the dead is God himself. But they will deceive. They will copy, and the copy will be so precise. And you and I know, with today's computer, you can even make a man crawl on the wall. You can even make a man fly, right? So what is the big deal about making this man arise from the dead? They will do it successfully. But of course, that miracle, getting the statue to really speak, get an idol to speak for the first time. The Bible says the false prophet, the second beast, will succeed in doing that. To give more glory and honor to this Antichrist. Worship him. And by worshiping him, you are actually worshiping the devil. That's Antichrist. And so you have his relationship with his own father, the dragon, a copycat of Christ's relationship with the Father. And then you see how he will reveal himself to the world, a copycat of how Christ revealed himself to us in this world by his crucifixion and by his resurrection. Likewise, the Antichrist. What else? Verse 5 to verse 8. His reign, the third R, from relationship to revelation to the rest of the world, and now his conquest, his reign. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Of course, blaspheming God, of course he will do it very subtly. He will say that he is the Christ, he is the Messiah. What the Christians believe, and all these are the enemies of God, these are the enemies of Christ. All those who worship him, they are enemies of Christ. They are actually worshipping Belial, they are worshipping Satan. Just as what they said about Christ, just as what they said about the disciples of Christ, the same message will be used in the last days. They will stand in the place of Christ. They will deceive the world to think and believe that he indeed is the Messiah. And he will succeed by the resurrection, by the miracle that Satan will give him the power to do. And giving him to continue for 42 months, that is exactly 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So the tabernacle there would be the tabernacle that will be erected. His home, his house, and then those who dwell in heaven. All the believers, they are going to be maligned by him. They are going to be called heretics. They are going to be called false believers. He has to do that. He has to. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. He will succeed. Many of them will die, as this book of Revelation reveals. Many of them will die, and they will be immediately resurrected, and they will be found in heaven. And then power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And so he will control the whole world, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So all those who oppose him will be the true believers, the saints. And one by one will be captured, and they will be killed. Many of them. Not all of them, but many of them. And then the rest of the world, they will be deceived, and he will succeed in his deception. And they're going to kowtow, and they're going to bow down, and they're going to worship him. Now this is a description of how our world would end. All your bank accounts will belong to Him. All your homes that you worked your whole life to buy and pay for will be owned by Him. Every job will belong to Him. Every credit card will be rendered useless without worshiping Him. That is why it makes no sense for us, after you know what God has revealed to us pertaining the final human being who will rule this planet of ours, where He will literally control and own everything that is of this earth, when everything that you think you own right now is only a figment of your imagination. You're not going to own anything. He will own everything. And once that happens, the world will be for Him. But we are now given this knowledge way before it happens. To what purpose? To what end? To warn us. To prepare us as His children. Because the world will not see, even though God made it so plain and clear, that this is the Antichrist. This is not the real Messiah. But the world will not see. The world will not believe. Just as they did not believe the first coming of Christ, they are not going to believe the revelation that God has given to us to prepare us not to be deceived by this Antichrist. And the world will be deceived despite God's warning that you're going to be deceived. Please take note of the verb was given, was given, was given. Our Heavenly Father is in sovereign control, even over Satan, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophets. God was the one who gave it over. God was the one who gave Him the power and the permission to persecute the saints in those days. God is still in absolute total control. Please understand this. And this is for our comfort. This is to open our eyes that we do not put our hope and our trust in the things of this world. That these things of this world must not be our motivation for our existence, for our service, and for our life. And that's why God wants us to make sure that when you bring up your children, you don't point them in the direction of the world, because the world is going to be hopeless. The world is not going to give help or hope to your children. You point them to Christ and not the world, because the world will belong to Satan one day, as God will give it to them for that brief moment of 7 years. And that's it. He's going to rule and reign for 3.5 years, because after that, the next 3.5 years will be the wrath of God that will be poured down upon this world. And this world will be devastated by the wrath of God. And God will have to recreate this world before the Lord returns, before the beginning of the millennium, where Christ will reign on this earth. Satan tried to have his first ecumenical movement very soon after the flood, as recorded for us in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. But he failed miserably. God confused and confounded their language. One moment they could not understand the Hebrew language. They all started to speak a new language. And so therefore they were forced to disperse. Two new languages were introduced to them. One group remained with the original language. The other two groups, according to the sons of Noah, they were suddenly confounded. They could not understand one another. They could not communicate. And once you can't understand and communicate one another, they just divided according to their languages. And they left. But this time, God will allow them to succeed. The them here will be the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And this whole world of ours will have one final, final rule of a human being that is evil and wicked, before the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign for millennium. And at the end of the millennium, this world will be completely destroyed, and God will give us a new heaven and a new earth, and that's where we are going to live in eternity, in the new heaven and new earth that has never been tainted by sin or by evil or by wickedness. And only believers in the glorified body will dwell there in the presence of God Almighty for all eternity. This is the culmination of the last 7 years of this world of ours. And this is the glimpse that God has been so wonderful, so blessed to give to His children, to warn us, don't live for this world. This world will be owned by the Antichrist. This world will be deceived. He will succeed because God says, I give him success. And therefore, how are you living now? Please understand, in the Bible, in 1 John, the Bible warns us that there is that Antichrist that will come. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, even now already there are many Antichrists that are already in this world. Do you know that? Already many Antichrists that are in this world. Do you know that? Who are these Antichrists? People who pretend to be Christ. People who pretend to be pastors, Christians. Many of them. But none of them will be as great and as powerful as the capital A, Antichrist. That's how he will succeed. He will pretend to be Christ. He will stand in place of Christ. And any pastors who pretend to be a Christian is an Antichrist. Any elder, any Christian who pretend to be a Christian, stand in the place of Christ. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the light of this world. And as long as he is on this earth, he will remain the light of this world. And who represents Christ today? Every genuine born-again Christian. You are now representatives of Christ on this earth. And so when you have false representatives, people who pretend to be Christians, are they therefore not Antichrist? Someone who stands in place of Christ? Who pretend to be a representative of Christ, which every Christian is supposed to be? And if you are a pastor, you're supposed to be the leader of the Christians, and therefore you're supposed to be the leader of all the representatives of Christ. And if you are a false pastor, you are an Antichrist. You're going to pretend to be Christ, just as he will pretend to be Christ, but his pretense will be energized by the dragon. These are all the small little Antichrist. But their pretension will be very successful. That's why you find them in many of the mega churches. That's why you find all these huge churches with thousands and thousands of followers. You just use the Bible to check their preaching. Use the Bible, the Word of God, to evaluate their lives. And you're going to find that what they do is not according to the Bible, even though they may claim that it is according to the Scriptures. Just as the Antichrist of Revelation 13 will do the same. He will claim. He's not going to claim that I am a worshipper of the dragon. Nobody will believe him. He has to claim that I am a worshipper of the creator of heaven and earth. The Antichrist will claim that he is truly the Messiah. Just as what many pastors and theologians and lecturers are doing today. So please don't think that you and I cannot be an Antichrist. If you are not truly born again and you pretend to be born again, then you are an Antichrist. Do you know that? So you please make sure that you are truly born again. Make sure you have really accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. For your sins. And you surrender all your life, everything, asking God to forgive you of all your sins. And cry to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and as your Savior. Because if you have not and you still call yourself a Christian, then you are no better than the Antichrist. You are just like him. It's just that you do not have the same power as he possessed, but you are no different from him. Because you stand in the place of Christ when you are not a true representative of Christ, because you are not a child of God. You are not a believer of the Jesus of the Bible. So please don't think that you are found in a church, you are a student of FEBC, you study, you have this degree and that degree, therefore you are not an Antichrist. Any one of us can be. You know that salvation is not through going to Bible college. You know salvation is not earning a piece of paper. You know that better than anybody else because you have been taught that. You have been taught in your churches that you are a believer because you are someone who obeys the Word of God. You have this desire in your heart to love the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to obey every jot and tittle of God's Word. That the Word of God is your blueprint for living, for life. These are some of the evidence. And then you have the fruit of the Spirit. You love God, you love Christ. You study the Word of God, you want to obey the Word of God. And we are talking about the proper understanding of God's Word. You just simply do a little bit of homework and survey the kind of preaching that is out there in Singapore. Just go to the website of some of these Singaporean churches. And you'll be shocked to the very core of your soul, the kind of messages that are proclaimed. And both everyone in the church, the congregation, the members are told that they are Christians. The pastors themselves who preach rubbish, they also claim that they are Christians. They claim that they are filled with the Spirit of God. They are preaching God's Word. They have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone is claiming to be a Christian. This is the kind of world that we're living in. That's why you have to check and make sure. Because the delusion and the deception is overwhelming. Never before in the history of mankind has the deception become so global, so consuming because of the internet. It spreads so quickly, so fast with the click of a mouse. A wrong doctrine just simply spread across the whole globe by the click of a mouse. That's what is happening nowadays. And so you cannot just simply take your own salvation for granted. Just because someone in the past, somewhere, somehow, somebody prayed the prayer of salvation with you, and then the person says, now you are born again, you can never lose your salvation. Don't take the person's word. You check your life. Make sure that you truly have been given the gospel that is according to the scriptures. That you are a sinner. That you are born in sin. That Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. That if you do not believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and you die in your sin, you end up in hell. And you're going to be burned for all eternity. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And you know that now you are bankrupt in your soul, that everything that you have, everything that you have done is useless before God. And then you cry to the Lord Jesus Christ from the depths of your soul. Save me, O Lord, and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. I surrender my heart to the Lord. Totally, completely. Take my life, O Lord, and use it for Thy glory. I receive Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, from your heart. And Jesus promised us, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be forsaken. The Lord will receive you. You have to make sure that only through sin, nothing else. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for your sin. Not to make you healthy, not to make you wealthy on this earth. Please understand this. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Make sure you believe the right gospel. And then, make sure that you have the fruit of the Spirit. The transformed life, the transformed mind, the transformed heart. Where the things that you used to hate and have no taste for, such as prayer, such as worship, such as reading God's Word, such as doing what is right according to Holy Scriptures, what is holy and pure and good, but now you embrace them, now you love them, now you can't do without them. And the old man, the things that you used to do, now you despise, you hate, you don't want to have anything to do with sin. Now these are all part and parcel of a characteristic of one who is truly born again as revealed to us in Holy Scriptures. And then when you read the Word of God, the understanding that you have in the Word of God is real. It's not something that is false. Don't take it for granted, because if you do, and you are not truly born again, then you are an antichrist in place of Christ. Because every believer, you are now a true representative of Christ on earth. And if you are a false believer pretending to be a true representative of Christ, then are you not an antichrist? This antichrist will be punished by God. There are only two human beings that God will send to the lake of fire while in this mortal flesh. You read this in Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast, that is the antichrist, was taken, seized by God, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. Now watch. these both were cast alive. No other human being was cast alive into the lake of fire except these two. Every other human being will experience a second resurrection, and then they will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, as the conclusion of Revelation 20 reveals. But these are the only two human beings, because of the great evil and wickedness that they did to deceive the whole world, that their punishment was far more serious than the punishment that God gave to every other human being who died in their sin without Christ. They were cast alive into the lake of fire while in this mortal body. We can't imagine the kind of pain that they have to endure in the lake of fire to be burned in this human body. You know the flames that burn a person today on this earth, in this earthen body. The flame that is of this earth is so excruciating that someone told me that it is more painful than giving birth when you are burned by open flame. How much more when you are in the lake of fire and this earthen body keeps on getting burned and 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 burned without end. Without end. And that's the Antichrist. Don't follow in his footsteps. Please check your salvation. Do not be an Antichrist. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to all our hearts, O Lord, in the stillness of this sanctuary, that each and every one of us may search deep into our own soul to know whether we are truly a child of the Most High God. May we not take our salvation for granted, but to search and to know that truly we have indeed confessed with our mouth and believe in our hearts that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed my Lord and my Savior, and I have surrendered my all to Him. O Lord, may this be the heart's cry of everyone present here this evening. And may Thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and conversion to every heart, that we may truly know that we are not an Antichrist, but we are truly sons and daughters of the Most High God, because we live as one by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, may Thou send us forth to truly be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, that others, when they see us, they will see Christ and glorify our Father who art in heaven. May Thy Holy Spirit continue to bring to remembrance and minister Thy holy word to our hearts. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.